Good evening, and it's now 6 o'clock, so I will call to order the Wednesday, March 6th, 2019, Board of Directors meeting for the South Sand District. So if you'd all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, and Ms. Simpson, will you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. With that, roll call, please.
Director Austin.
Here.
Vice Chair Ray Russum.
Here.
Chair Lee.
I am here as well. So we have a quorum, and we will move forward with our next item, which is agenda review. So are there any members of the board that want to change the agenda?
No.
Then I will turn it over to Mr. Gent, because he does have a discussion item.
Yes, I'd like to point out that item 6A will be pulled from the agenda and continued to the next meeting. I would like to apologize to the board. The language on the agenda where it says contract amendments for general engineering services with MKN and Associates, that language was pulled from actually an older staff report that was being used as a template in creation of a new staff report. When the agenda was built, so it was not properly notified per the Brown Act. So to stay in conformance with the Brown Act, we will continue this item to the next meeting. Other than that, the agenda is unchanged with the exception of pulling item 6A.
Very good. So is there a motion to proceed with the agenda as amended?
I'll move we proceed with the agenda as amended.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Which then takes us to item number 4, which is public comments for items not appearing on the agenda. This public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to speak comments, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on this agenda. With that, please keep your comments to 3 minutes or less, and we'll start with Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and since you pulled this from the agenda, this is going to be my opportunity to speak to this item. First, I noticed that the noticing was improper, but I couldn't tell for sure until the staff report came out so many days later. And I know it's legal to issue staff reports later than the board agenda, but it would have been nice if they came together this time. And I don't know what the holdup was, but probably could have called you when I saw that. Earlier, and let you know. And maybe it could have been fixed in a timely fashion. I have an issue and problem with this contract, and when it comes back to you at your next meeting, this is sole sourcing. And sole sourcing is not healthy for anybody's district or city or wherever you are representing. You want what's best for the ratepayer. And when the consultant, in this case, MKN, has to compete for the job, they may, in fact, do the job at a lower price because they want the job. It is my recollection that MKN did not have to compete to get the general engineering services of this district over the last several years, and they've fallen into the position and learned the nuances of the very project that this contract is about because they were handed the work. So that didn't give other contractors the opportunity to come up to speed and be part of the competition in that you want the best rate for your ratepayers. The other thing that in looking at the full scope of services, I would just ask, and maybe the staff report could be expanded in 2 weeks, what, if anything, could your engineer district administrator do to help with these tasks to be able to shave down the job and further save the ratepayers money? Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else wanting to come forward and speak under public comments? Seeing no one else come forward, I'll go ahead and close public comments, and that takes us to our consent agenda. So we do have three items on the consent agenda this evening. Does any member of the board have any questions?
I don't have any
questions. Or want to pull any items?
Nope.
Okay. Very good. Then I will open this up to public comment for the items on the consent agenda. Anyone want to speak on consent? Then I will bring it back for motion or discussion.
So moved. To second. Approve.
We have a motion and a second. Is this a roll call or a voice vote this evening? Voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Consent agenda is approved, which then takes us to item 6B, the fiscal year 2018-19 mid-year budget review. District Administrator Gent.
Good evening. Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. At the February 6th meeting, we brought forward a financial update, and we were asked to come back with a full mid-year budget adjustment. And so the staff report before you does that, and I'll walk through in summary of what we've done. So overall, we've reduced overall revenues by, we expect to see a reduction of $49,600 in anticipated revenues now that we have mid-year projections. And we've cut our overall budget by an equal amount to stay balanced, so our revenues match our budget as proposed in the staff report before you. It goes through and summarizes the accounts that we moved money around in order to achieve that adjustment. And so now we expect to finish the year within budget, and the accounts that were shown as potentially going over should be remedied, and we expect to be able to close out the year without exceeding the budgeted account amounts for the various accounts. And I'm happy to answer if there's any particular questions, or if you'd like me to elaborate on the information in the staff report, I'm happy to do so.
Any specific questions?
I do. Why don't we let you, do you want to ask questions first, or do you want to elaborate first?
So if you would like, so if you'd like me to go through the accounts listed here and tell you, you know, why they were over and why they were able to be reduced, I'm happy and prepared to do that.
I have six questions out of a total of probably 18 line items, so you might as well just go through them.
Okay. So if we look at page 2 of the staff report, so we'd say staff recommends increasing the budget of the following accounts at mid-year. So unemployment reimbursement. So we're increasing that by $4,000. And if you look, if you turn back to Exhibit A, also summarizes these same accounts. And if we go to that fund in Exhibit A, the 196095 unemployment reimbursement, we initially budgeted $8,000 for that at the beginning of the year. To date, we've expended $6,300, and so we're asking for an additional $4,000 to close out the year at $12,000, and expect that to cover the remaining amount for this year at $12,000.
So my question is, that's not one of my line items, but my questions all revolve around, I double-checked all this, and your staff report matches what's here. There's no errors that I found, but I don't know what all these line items are. For example, why is our unemployment insurance unemployment going up? The question is more like, what does the line item mean?
Okay, so I'm prepared to answer that. So on unemployment reimbursement, we did have a member last year that was on unemployment after they left the district. And so the way unemployment reimbursement, our rates go up the following year to basically bring them whole. So the amount we're paying for back to, help me out here, Amy, who do we pay the unemployment reimbursement?
Employee development.
The employee development department of the state, we have to pay a certain percentage of the unemployment benefits that they paid. So it's like somewhat like an insurance premium, if you will. So now we're paying that in hindsight to make up for the claim that was made previously. So
next,
that was higher than we had budgeted for.
So going forward into 1920, that will reduce back down?
It should reduce back down unless somebody else files an unemployment claim.
Okay, thank you.
And so if there's no math errors, I can continue doing what I'm doing if you want to hear each one of these accounts individually, and I'm happy and prepared to do that.
Why don't I just ask the ones I have questions about? 196030, plant operators.
Yes.
Can you explain that adjustment?
So there's currently vacant positions, and we budgeted for the full year for the vacancies, and so we're using money from the vacant position to pull that money and rebudget.
198050, plant chemicals. How do we get so far out on that? It'd be a relatively known quantity year after year, wouldn't it?
And the process that changed the chemical usage was when we were doing the digester. Yes, it should be the similar year over year. There are product price changes in chemicals that continually increase the cost. But this year we had additional chemical costs while our digester was down for repair for a full year, and we were running a process differently to get better settling and using more chemical to get that settling, because our digester was not online.
So again, next year that should reduce back
down. That should reduce back down.
Okay, 198079, and basically the last four. There's a lot of switcheroos of $400,000 here that I'm trying to follow what's going on and why.
I'll start, and then I'll hand it over to Amy on the multiple line items. I'll let her explain, but the $400,000 that we're moving was budgeted to actually that same digester project that I was referring to. So in the fiscal year 17-18, the previous fiscal year, the district budgeted $660,000 to do the digester cleaning. During that fiscal year, we expended about $400,000 of that $660,000, but the project spanned two fiscal years. So we moved into the current fiscal year, 2018-2019, and when we budgeted for that, the full project budget, the $660,000, even though there was only $260,000 in remaining work on the project, the full amount of the project was rebudgeted inadvertently in the 2018-19 budget before you. So the $400,000 is me taking that project's done and closed out, and there's $400,000 remaining for the digester repair, which is complete, and I'm reappropriating that $400,000 and moving it to redundancy is what you're seeing there. And there is a third entry, and that has to do with it passing between the two accounts from Fund 20 to Fund 19, and that's the way it has to pass through the books. But I'll let Amy clarify that, or if you have any.
I don't need that clarification. Okay. That's just your clerical stuff, Amy. I trust you on that. But I have kind of a question / comment. And as I'm getting used to reading pay warrants and all these other things, I see the word redundancy over and over and over again. It's a giant project, and I feel like it needs some subcategories. I feel like there needs to be a little bit more indicators of what every time we label redundancy to something, we're going to end up with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of things that just simply say redundancy. And it's impossible to follow what's going where if it only says that one word. So going forward, can we get, and especially on the pay warrants, can we get some kind of indication? Because the only thing that's in the column near it is an invoice that it refers to. There's no way for us to really track. Oh, okay. This is going to the design. This is going to, I mean, I don't know what, but
So you would be interested in some sort of work breakdown structure that would show that this is going to design, this is going to construction, this is going to administration. So we can prepare, and we've talked about that internally, wanting to keep those numbers separate, because we do have to parse through. It is one big pot, and so when I need to pull out individual numbers, I've got to jump in and do that. But
when my name's going on the pay warrant, I want to know where that money's going. So I think that's a big piece of being able to track that as the board up here, even though you're probably tracking that internally.
Right. And so to date, it's largely all been preliminary engineering and design effort. That's the money that's been spent because we're in that phase. But we can do that. And we'll move forward with the breakdown structure.
And as an example, there's warrants this week that have I've got to go off the top of my head because I'm using my phone, unfortunately, as my iPad right now, where there's one redundancy that is, I don't know, $15,000 or $12,000. There's another one that's straight $5,000. So it's clear that those are for two different things.
Right.
But they both use the same name, and I can't tell what that is.
Okay, so yeah. Yeah, so yeah, absolutely. And so the there's the bigger number there, and I think it was $50,000 was to Kennedy Jenks. In the warrants, and that was for the design effort. And the single flat $5,000 is a fee we had to pay to PG&E to do the electrical reconfiguration of the power coming into the plant. They want a starter money for that project and that effort, and so it's a flat fee of $5,000.
I think that would also help the public follow what's going on because it's not just us. And so I guess that's more of a comment than a question.
Okay. But,
or perhaps a future agenda item discussion.
For what?
Perhaps have a discussion. So Jeremy and I were talking previously about possibly having an agenda item for an update on the redundancy project and the budget and so forth. So it may be it falls into that discussion as well.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds fine. If there's a larger, I don't think it needs to just deciding how to account for it as an agenda item. On attachment 2, there are two lines that say other, and I just wanted to know what the other was. Under revenues, we've got other revenues, $145,750 in Fund 19. There was another line item. It's in the report, sorry, and not on the papers that I printed out, that was at $145,000 straight, flat. But this says $145,750, so I couldn't really follow those numbers. Can you just tell me the source of the other revenues there?
So the other revenues, and I'll have Amy elaborate a little bit. So we get revenue from the school districts, and that comes in as other revenue. We had other revenue from the county. They were working on a bridge project, and they were sending some dewatering water to the plant. So we had about $40,000 in unanticipated revenue that went into that other category from the County Public Works Department. And can you explain, Amy, the other sources of the other revenue?
Part of the other revenue is that the county leases one of our sludge beds and makes monthly payments on that. And I believe for this report, other revenues also includes the brine. If you're looking at the consolidated budget, is that
what you're saying? I don't think that could include the brine if that's only $145,000.
Did we reduce brine to? We reduced the brine to $145,000.
Right, but then this one's $145,750. So if that was true, then it couldn't include any of the other things you just mentioned. Unless that lease is only $750.
No, it's not. So I think the lease would come under service charges and fees, and other revenues is just fine.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Service charges and fees at the 5.185.
So then again, where does the $145,750 come from?
I'm going to have to bring the full budget back because it breaks it down that way, and unfortunately, I don't have that. Do you have last week's budget?
Well, then I'm going to throw you another curveball.
Last week's, but I've got the original.
The original?
Yeah.
So other revenue is?
I think we'll be able to answer this in a few seconds here.
Other revenue is brine disposal lease, other reimbursements, and fog reimbursement.
Oh, the $750. So the $750 is a fats, oil, and grease reimbursement that we receive, and we receive for doing service for our member agencies if we do inspections for fats, oil, and grease in the collection system of a member agency. And so in the past, we've offered that service, and So that $750 is anticipated revenue when we have our lab technician go out, and there is an individual $750 line item for other funds here that come in, and that's where that $750 number is coming from.
Okay. And then similarly, under other charges for Fund 20, I didn't know where that number came from either.
MOU with PISMA?
That's the $113,400
yeah.
number?
Yeah.
I don't like others. Can you tell? they don't help us understand what's going on.
So that other charge that you're talking about, 20-7094,
mm-hmm.
that's an MOA with this?
I can't see a number on it.
She's on the consultant.
I'm on the attachment number.
Oh, she's on the – okay. It's they're combined, yeah. So there is $113,400 that's budgeted for an MOA with the city of Pismo Beach for the joint EIR for Central Coast Blue, and that's what that other charge is for.
Okay, thank you. That's all my questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions to my left? Okay, I'll go ahead and open this up to the public, see if there's any questions on this item or comments on this item.
Julie Tacker, and those were good questions. I appreciate
Don't be surprised.
The idea that the redundancy line item throughout gets better identified. But it does bring up, and it's something I've asked for before, I know the public's asked besides me, is kind of a running total on redundancy. How much have we spent so far, where it's coming from, because when the rates were increased in 2016, the ratepayers were told that much of that rate increase was for redundancy, and we just want to see that that is indeed where it has been spent. So a future agenda item, whatever, but even if it was a year-to-date column that you would see in some other kind of document, that you have a running total on the project.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else who wants to speak on this item?
Hi, Mary Lucy Oceano. I just need a couple points of clarification. Under account 4010, is that AG connection income for that was adjusted for $110,000? It started at $30,000. Is that AG or is that Arroyo Grande?
We'll go ahead and finish. Go ahead and
okay, so that's one question. Okay. I'm glad that somebody has actually looked at redundancy, and that'll be on future agendas. And then also Fund 77-7 for engineering services. I'm going to assume that's for the rest of the plant that is not under the redundancy project. Correct. Correct. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else want to speak on this item? And then, Jeremy, I'll let you respond to those questions after all of the public comments.
Patricia Price. I just have a quick question. I don't know if it would go with budget or not, but do we have a loan to cover this redundancy project yet? I haven't really heard anything about it, and I was just wondering what the status was. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak on this item? If not, I'll go ahead and close it to public comment and bring it back. I think I heard two or three questions. I don't know if you captured those, Jeremy. I think the last question was, is there a loan on the redundancy project?
Okay. I have two remaining questions. Is what I have. The one is on the AG income and being $30,000 and increasing to $110,000. We have to estimate what the number of and it is Arroyo Grande connections is what that fund is for, and we have to estimate what type of development activity is going to occur in one of our member agency cities, and usually we do that by looking at the previous year and trying to make an estimate. In this case, the previous year for Arroyo Grande was around $30,000, and so that's what was put into the budget for this year. But with the development of the hotel that's just down the street, and then also I believe the development on off of Cherry Lane has paid sewer charges that are greatly in excess of the anticipated $30,000. So we're already at $110,000 in service or connection revenue from the city of Arroyo Grande. So that's the explanation for that number. On the loan for redundancy, no, we do not currently have a loan for redundancy. We're not at that spot in the project. We will be going out for bond funding, and I'll make sure to include a section in the redundancy update that talks about that. But typically, until you go through all the way to the award part where you know you have the contractor, this is what the Bartle Wells is counseling us on, our financial consultant. We would want to see bid results before we would actually go out and fund the project. And so there is a couple of weeks to do that and package it and get the bonds on the market, but it won't happen until that point where we get bid results back and have made an award to the apparent low. We will start moving forward, because you don't know, it could come in lower than engineers' estimates, and you don't want to fund a project without the actual numbers. Sometimes you do, because you don't have the money to keep it moving, and you might want some sort of bridge financing. But in this case, we have reserves to continue the project moving forward, and we budgeted accordingly to achieve that. And we'll go back, and once we have reached that point where we're ready to make the award to the contractor, we'll know the exact numbers that we want to ask for in our debt. And those were the two questions I have. There may have been a third that I missed, but I think there was another one from Mary, but I nodded my head and she said thanks.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there was an acknowledgement.
It was 77.
Oh, the engineering, yes, the other engineering services, the 50,000, we did talk about briefly two meetings ago. That's just the general engineering around the plant. I think I mentioned that I've tried to take on that role as for the minor engineering at the plant. And so in this mid-year budget, I've reduced that $50,000 budgeted, because we've already exceeded half the year, down to $25,000 in case we wanted to use engineers throughout the rest of the year for a minor project. We still have a pro rata share of that budget left remaining.
Any other questions generated by Mr. Gent's descriptions? Very good. Then we'll bring it back for a motion and discussion.
Chair Lee, why don't you make a motion, because it seems to include a possible direction to have future items.
I was going to include that under board member items after that, but I will go ahead and make a motion that we adopt resolution number 2019-403, authorizing the budget adjustments.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ressam?
Yes.
Chair Lee?
Yes. That item passes, and that takes us to our item 6C, which is our District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. Mr. Gent.
Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. I'm happy to give an update on some of the projects and activities in the plant. First one here, redundancy project. It does say no update, but there is an update to give since this has been published and there's been some questions about it. And you'll note there that it says we were expecting bid-ready documents for completion at the end of February 2019. That date has been carried forward at the recommendation of Kennedy Jenks, but that is not their contract obligation. Their contract obligation currently sits at the second week of April of this year, of 2019. In August of 2018, our board took action to extend their contract by 6 weeks because of some project change requests. They added work at the existing secondary clarifier, and as part of that additional work, they were given an additional 6 weeks to complete that work. Now, at that time, they said they were going to try to, they had to take that work from August from 0% to 100% and try to meet that deadline. They had indicated at that point to keep the February date, but more recent information, they continue to work on that effort. And actually, some PG&E effort has been late, and so they've continued to work on that. So the final plans are not ready at this point, but they are anticipating making the final plan submittal on April 4th, and then they will be here on site to review those plans with us on April 11th. To go over the final plans. So that's the update on the capital project redundancy. Financial initiative, at the next meeting on the 20th, we will be visited by our auditor, and they will present the audit to the board. I've got a miscellaneous item here. At the back of my administrator's report, based on previous direction from the board, I've included an older staff report where we discussed the options for going to a five-member board. And so I've circulated that to the directors, and then I've included it in this report. So based on the previous discussion, that the members of the public could see that staff report and see what discussion had happened previously. And happy, like, if we have further discussion on this, we can talk about bringing items forward if so directed. Central Coast Blue, there's no update today. There is a meeting tomorrow between the city managers. Many of the electeds will be present. We have taken action to make sure there's no Brown Act violation because we have such a constrained board. And so actually none of the three of you will actually be present at the meeting tomorrow. So there's no Brown Act concern for that meeting tomorrow on Central Coast Blue. There's no plant tours during the reporting period. And then I mentioned the attachment. And the tribute resolution was anticipated to come back for Barbara Nichols on 3/20. I was in communication with her, and she thought maybe it was better to put that off to the first week in April. So we'll make that adjustment and play it by ear with Ms. Nichols and get that in front of you. And then moving into the plant operations report. We did have a power outage. There was a large power outage. I think it affected 25,000 residences. Our backup power came online, and there was no disruption at the plant. Everything worked as expected. And the numbers at the plant continue to look good. We did have a couple water leaks at the plant in our recycled water lines, and we had those repaired during the reporting period. And so that effort is illustrated in our chief plant operator's report there. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you for that report. Any questions from the board?
They were answered via email.
Very good.
On the FECO coliform, I was just curious. It usually runs like 1.8 to 2, and then on February 8th, it's 13. Then like on the 25th, 9.3. What? Can you explain what that means? That's a problem.
So the 1.8 that you commonly see is actually it's called a non-detect. So that the testing method that you see the 1.8 only tests down to a certain level, and it's only that test method is only valid to say it's less than 1.8. So that's why. So often that probably means it's a zero, but we can declare is it's less than 1.8. Our limit is 200 with a 2,000 instantaneous max. So that's our target to stay under. So you can see those numbers are substantially below that target. So we're not close to the 200 or 2,000. So it's a 200 average and a 2,000 instantaneous max. And so that's what we're comparing that against to make sure that we're having good numbers coming out of the plant.
So, but to follow up on that question just real briefly, so something happened on the 8th, whether it was inflow of some sort or something that that increase that number from the background non-detect to a 13. So, and is there a known explanation for that, or is that just?
Well, at these levels, we don't look into that. Actually, we have a threshold. If we see a number of 100, we actually start to investigate, what may have been the cause of that. There's numerous causes. You get fluctuations in flows coming in and out of the plant during rain events. The disinfection system has different capabilities for keeping up with that. When you have those higher inflows during those rain events, the water becomes more turbid, and so you have a decreased disinfection in that more turbid water. So there's a number of reasons that could cause those numbers to creep up during a routine cycle. But the February 8th, that's well within the testing methods. It's actually even. At these levels, you could see a false positive just because the operator didn't change their gloves and use clean hands in pulling the sample. I mean, you're talking very low levels with the numbers that are published there. So just somebody failing to wash their hands when they take the sample of the wastewater could produce fecal numbers higher than the numbers you see before you right now.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good. Thank you for that explanation. So, seeing no other questions.
On the redundancy, you're saying that the bid ready documents looks more like the second week of April.
Yes, that's
so.
Yes.
Does that change the construction date of fall?
No.
Next year we still have our.
We'll still have the construction date. That remains unchanged. It's just the bid ready documents. Okay. The schedule to continue, it works as is.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I'll go ahead and open up this item to the public, see if anyone has any questions or comments on the director's report.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I'd like to speak to the memo from your legal counsel. It's unfortunate that this memo ever had to get written, because previous legal counsel wrote one too. Mike Seitz wrote one, so there's another one somewhere in a drawer for this district, and it says pretty much the same thing, that special legislation would be necessary. Special legislation is not a big deal. The question has been broached with previous assembly members. I know Katya Asajian was approached some years ago. I know that the current Assemblyman Cunningham has also been approached, and they were, and when asked, were receptive to the idea. It's simply up to your board to bring the question forward for them to carry for you. It's just not a big deal. So I hope that you consider having that discussion in a very public forum. Each of your cities and your CSDs should have the conversation at home and then have that conversation here. There was talk even at one point to have all, like a joint big board meeting where all 15 representatives were at a table, and the community was invited to come and talk about it. Because what the makeup of the board would look like, whether it's disbanding the entire idea of having the mayors serve or the presiding officers of the different agencies and just having the district have its own elected body, and you don't have that representation necessarily, and that they only represent the district. Because when you come to this dais, you are to set your mayor's hat aside, your president's hat aside, and you are representing this district. And political push and pull has been played out here when it shouldn't have. It should be what is in the best interest of the district. And so I hope and I encourage you to have this conversation as big and loud as you can, because there is a lot of money on the line as the district goes forward. There, you do have to move your sewer plant in the future. All of that's going to come at a cost. And you want, your ratepayers want to feel like they are represented wholly by who's ever sitting in those seats.
Anyone else want to come forward and speak on this item?
Hello, Colin Kubel. I'd just like to say a couple words about the five-member board. I would hope that you would really consider it, get the public involved in this, and take the constraints off of this board, because there's only three of you. That constrains you because of the Brown Act. And make it a board, just as all of the other boards are in this area. Make it equal and set it up the way that the previous speaker stated. Do it fairly and democratically, but make it a five-person board. It's the only way to take those constraints off of you, and each one of you should want to do that. Thank you.
Anyone else want to speak on this item? Please come forward.
Good evening, Ron Arneson. I'm also in favor of a five-member board. I think it would take a lot of the political push out of this board and make it much easier for everybody that's concerned. I also want to comment that I'm still impressed with Mr. Gent's appearance here. His knowledge is superior. I haven't had such knowledge since Mr. Clemens left the board, was forced out of the position. And it's nice to see this facility moving forward on the purpose of it, and not be fighting among itself, but among the people that work there. So thanks again, Jeremy. I hope you're happy here, because I think you're doing a good job. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else who want to speak on this item?
Mary Lucio Sciano, I'm sorry to see this item back up before you. I strongly encourage you not to expand this board to five people. You're not a policy board. You're a board that's supposed to be overseeing a sewer plant. You're not setting policy for a city or a district or anything like that. You're watching our money, you know, and you're making sure the plant is working at the highest capacity it possibly can, you know, to turn this body into a policy body. I just think is a bad, bad direction to go. And the public, as long as our money is spent responsibly, we don't need five people up there. We don't need the added administrative costs. You know, if just keep an eye on the money, keep an eye on the projects, make sure, you know, that the ocean's, you know, being protected as much as possible. I'm appalled that you would even consider putting this on the agenda. So I'm adamantly opposed to this. And who would you put on the board? You have the three vested communities already here. Who else has invested as much money as the three communities? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody has invested as much as is AG and Grover and, of course, Oceano. And Oceano houses the plant. So does that mean that we get an extra seat? Because we're not truly, fairly represented if we want to go down a policy road. So let's try to stay away from the policy. And
please, no commentary from the audience while they're speaking, please.
Let's try to stick to keeping the plant run properly and stay away from the politics. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wants to speak on this item? Please come forward.
Joseph, Patricia Price again. A couple of things. I wanted to say that I do agree with the first few speakers, and that it would be good to look into a five-member board for all of the reasons that were brought up. I think they're all good reasons to check this out. There is, as Mary says, there is a lot of money going through this district. And our main concern is that it be handled well. In the past, I have seen tens of thousands up to millions of dollars mishandled in this district. And I think that it might be a very good idea to change to a five-member board to just explore how that would work for us. We do want what works best for us as a district with all of the communities represented fairly, always fairly. So that's what I wanted to say about that. The other thing is on the Central Coast Blue. I'm wondering, because I've heard things about possibly them putting the recycling plant here in Oceano on the South Sand site, and I was wondering, is that seriously being considered? Because it doesn't sound like a good idea, and because we will have to move the plant, the sewer plant at some point in the future, we will have to move it, and it seems like if we went proactively and found a site for Coastal Blue to be situated, perhaps we could join with them later when we have to move. Maybe we could plan together to find a site where that would happen in the future. This is going to be a really expensive move when it happens, and I think we ought to start planning now. That's how you save money. You plan way ahead for things like this. So that's the question is, are they considering putting their facility here in Oceano at the plant?
Thank you. I see more commenters coming forward. Thank you.
Good evening, Board. Jim Hill, District Ratepayer. I would also strongly encourage your board to look into expanding the membership to five members, whether that be elected at large from citizens of the district or other means that would remove several of the constraints that are currently on your board. And one of the speakers mentioned that it would be simple for the assembly to in the state Senate to pass a law to expand the board to five members, but they're reluctant to move on that absent request from this board. So I would encourage you to look at, consider on your city councils or your community service district boards, if you were unable to talk to any other member of the board. I'm sure you've probably already experienced some of the difficulty of dealing with a three-member board. So, again, I would just encourage that, and thank you very much for your service.
Thank you. Any other members of the public want to speak on this item? I think we've almost had everybody speak, so I'll bring it back to the board for close that item to the board. Any questions or comments, staff, that need to be responded to based upon the comments?
The only one that I heard as a question was, is the Sand District site a potential site for Central Coast Blue? And the answer to that is, yes, it is a potential site for Central Coast Blue that has largely been the site that's been investigated to date. Now, the issues that come with the site are very much in the forefront of that discussion. And so there is effort looking for an alternative site. That effort has increased in the past month. And so that effort, we're obligated at this point, the project's obligated at this point to look at a co-equal analysis of an alternative site to the Sand District site for Central Coast Blue. So to answer the exact question, is the site being considered? Yes, we are agreeable to the pursuit of our site for Central Coast Blue. Now, that comes with a couple limitations. We've got, of course, we've got coastal hazards. We're in the floodplain. So those things are things that would have to be mitigated for. The other thing, we're size constrained on our site. We have a limited footprint. So there, those are the two competing constraints. You have environmental permitting type constraints on the project that may cause the site to not be feasible. And then you also have just size constraints as the project footprint of Central Coast Blue has continued to expand during the course of design. The footprint has expanded to a level where we're starting to have questions whether they can actually fit on our site. And so they're the design team's looking at that because the footprint's gotten so large. So at this point, it's too early to know, but those technical efforts are ongoing, and you know, a lot of that will be released when the draft EIR comes out.
And so with that, though, it's also, it sounds like there's an update coming, whether it be tomorrow or in the future. And so the future updates with regards to Central Coast Blue, I'm sure will be coming through to this board and with additional information and or releases from Central Coast Blue themselves.
Correct. We intend to have the design team come in and make a presentation to your board to be able to answer questions about the project. We had that scheduled for the last meeting, but because of some of the recent changes and the desire to explore an alternative site, that meeting got canceled because everything had been centered around the Sand District site at that point, and because of new information and new direction, that was postponed, and that effort will come back to a not yet determined date to update your board on the status of Central Coast Blue.
Okay, we will look forward to that coming back at a later date then. Any other discussion on this item?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that I had the chance to weigh in on what the public was just bringing forth. So I would presume that Ms. Austin has talked about this before. After reading what's been presented here, I got no new information that I didn't already know, so I appreciate that. And what it comes down to is, I will be totally honest, I don't mind the constraint. And that means that everything that I have to do here as a board member has to be right here in this chamber. I can't do anything behind the scenes. And I'm fine with that. There's not enough technical things that we need to get done that really warrant us working outside the public view and meeting outside the public view. There's just, I don't want to say there's not enough work. It's important work, but it's financial in nature. You can all see how I've approached this, and I don't mind the constraint of not being able to talk to the board members. You can see there was a little confusion here when Jeff said earlier, should we agendize this? I did not know he had talked to the district administrator, and I thought he meant, did he want to agendize changing up how we write something on a report. So that is demonstrating to the public that there are not things going on behind the scenes here. I think that's important. And if so at this time, I have no interest in bringing this forward. I think that's a much ado about, I don't want to say nothing, but overcomplicating what we do here. I want to stay focused on bringing this anything that I as a new member see our kind of accounting is not the right word, but the way that we communicate that accounting to the public and to us, and to make sure that we're watching and we're listening to the public as they come to the dais, and that's really what we're supposed to be doing. So I don't see how a 5-member board would make that any better. A 5-member board would simply allow two people to act outside the public's interest or outside the public view. I don't see any other advantage other than that. So I'm not interested in bringing that forward at this time, but give me a little while on this board, and maybe I'll change my mind. But for now, that's where I stand on that.
Okay. Yeah, I made some notes here. So the first, the constraints I have, that seems to be what everyone is concerned about, that, you know, we can't talk to each other. And like this district here, it's a standalone agency. It provides service. It provides to our three communities. And that's what we do. It's not like a city council. We have one focus, and that is do the best job we can to keep the plant running in the best way that it can. And each community has one vote, and the constraints don't bother me at all. I think it would really make it over complicate the whole process. I just don't see any purpose. It would serve, I know we used to have a, I think Cacho years ago sat on the board, and it, we went to, there was a,
please,
okay,
no,
there was a, well, there was a supervisor during that time, and I think we went to the legislature to get away from that. And so they did, and I don't know that any supervisor would want to sit on the board. I don't know where you would, what would it take, I mean, with our attorney to go to the legislature? Do we have to, will we just write a letter? I mean, how much money is involved? Would you have to be involved in, if we were to go?
Yes, they
formally asked to look into it. What does that involve?
Yeah, I will direct that. I will answer that question directly. But first, because it's not formally on the agenda, this is really just a short discussion to decide if you'd like to continue it and agendize it at a future meeting to have a full discussion on this issue. So our comments are should be brief and limited.
Okay.
And the only action you would take is to direct staff to agendize it for a further meeting. But yes, it would take additional legal work. This staff report specifically states that I was not authorized to do any legal work, and so I did not.
Okay, well, I'm not interested in seeing any dilution of any of the votes of the communities by adding other people at this time. I mean, if it's for the board, I would be glad to take it to the community of Oceano and see what they think, you know. But right now, I don't feel it's in the best interest to look into the three-member board to spend the time and the money it would take and the money it would cost if we were to do it, the higher administration costs. So that's what I feel about it.
Okay. Great. I want to say thank you to Jeremy for finding the most recent memo and Gil for participating in that a year ago for that. And with that, I'll just let that stand. So that is no other direction that you needed on that item, correct? Okay. Very good. Then that brings us back to miscellaneous items. Any miscellaneous items this evening?
No, there's no miscellaneous items to report.
Very good. Then I'll move into board member communications. So I'll go ahead and start if that's okay. And this goes back to my comment earlier with regards to I had spoken with Jeremy and was I kind of let him know that this evening I was going to request, based upon two new members and the complexity of the redundancy project, effectively an update on where how the district got to the project and how it was budgeted, and with the fact that the MKN contract is being continued, so that update could be folded into that contract amendment discussion as well. So basically if board is conducive with that, so basically expansion of that item to include a where is it budgeted, what are our next steps, so that we can receive a kind of a public update on that, on the project.
I would definitely concur, and maybe we can fold into that a kind of a way to track that going forward for my concern about the transparency of where that money's going.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we have concurrence on that item. Very good. So we'll look forward to that update. The next item I had is there's always been a kind of a question, comment about possibly only meeting once a month, or maybe potentially having discussions about continuing our twice a month schedule, but potentially canceling a board member or a board meeting on occasion. And so I don't know if there's a method that either staff or the board has that we want to have that discussion, or just at the discretion of the district administrator and the board chair to potentially cancel one of the meetings per month if no action items are deemed unnecessary for a particular reason.
Maybe Mr. Gent can speak to that.
So on the monthly meetings, so to go forward with that, there would be two options. We could exercise our option to cancel meetings, or we could come back with another bylaw update and modify the bylaws to to provide for monthly meetings instead, but that would be more formal. Or we could take an approach where we cancel several meetings this year and see how the, see what the performance is during those cancellations, and make sure that there's an there's adequate time to conduct the district's business in, with those reduced number of meetings. So I could certainly prepare a staff report with some pros and cons to the and potential cost savings and the consequences of going to single meetings and provide that back to your board at a future meeting so that we could have further discussion on that item.
Any interest in that or any other discussion?
Can I ask a question? Of course. So how would it work? You know, each meeting we sign warrants. So if there's, how would that?
So with,
if we only had one meeting, would there?
So in regards to Warren, and I will rely on Gil here momentarily. So with the warrants, the practice of our district has been to bring those warrants and get them signed after the board's approval. It is my understanding that that is not any type of requirement, and that action has been taken strictly from a 2010. I'll stop quoting dates because I don't want to be responsible for those numbers. But there was a report, and it was to address the concerns of John Wallace being both the administrator and the district engineer and approving invoices at the time. And so they wanted the board approval prior to the and full in front of the public before those checks were sent to the bank or the requests were sent to the bank to be cashed to send out the checks. So that practice has been adopted, and so we bring our warrants and get your approval prior to taking sending out those checks. So we'll take these warrants to the county tomorrow and send them out. That is not a requirement. We can come to you separate. These warrants do have to come back to the public and be shown to the public in full view, but we can take that action and get the count just by getting your signatures outside of this meeting and have the county release those. And I keep saying the county, if it's not clear, the county is our bank in this case. So it could be Rabobank, but it's the county in this case. So we take those and then we would just come out and meet with you guys and during a regular meeting that I may have and get two of your signatures and handle it that way if that were the case. So. And I could explain, I don't want to get, since we're not official, we don't have it officially an item, but I would be happy to elaborate on all that in a future item, how we would handle the business of the district. And Gil, if I misstated anything, or can you provide any clarification on any limitations?
Yes, I think that was accurate. Most public entities do have checks and balances, and it's a question of whether or not the warrants can be signed with the approval of a department head or an administrator, and then brought for a ratification after the fact to the board or to a city council, for example.
So I guess overall, unless is there questions?
Well, I would just like to make sure that if this comes forward, which I'm certainly in favor of, that the fiscal implications of this be really well thought out, because I have a gut feeling that it's going to be a pretty compelling argument to go to one. So I'd like to see that really fully fleshed out of all the line items that would be affected by that.
Okay.
So, I agree with what Karen said. I'm a little kind of leery, but we can break it down and see if it would work.
Okay. So we've got consensus on bringing that back on a future item for discussion as well. So any other board member communications or comments?
My only other board member communications is Arroyo Grande did beat San Luis tonight.
Oh, they did? Oh, good.
Yes.
Very good. So with that, we are adjourned until March 20th. See you then.